is. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, chapter number 5, and we'll continue in our lessons of the Holy Spirit. 3 weeks ago, starting about the person of the Holy Spirit, he has a name, and he loves it when you use his name. Pray in the name of the Holy Spirit. He's a person. He is touched by your infirmities. He is grieved when we sin against him. He becomes sorrowful. And sometimes Christians who have a sorrowful spirit, unbeknownst to them maybe, have grieved the Holy Spirit. And he wants to be happy and he wants to be joyful and show you the joy of the Lord. The joy is one of those fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. And as you take a bite of that beautiful fruit, as you live in the joy of the Lord, the Spirit inside of you is happy. And then we talked about the baptism with the Holy Spirit, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. The Bible doesn't use the preposition of, but that's the title, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And there are those who think that that is an experiential evidence of the Holy Spirit, but it's not. There is one faith, one Lord, and one baptism. That's the day that you were saved. You're baptized into the body of Christ. Now, wait a minute. Some folks stop at that and they never seek for the Lord's help in other areas of their life. How they're missing. And there may be some here today who say, Pastor, I just don't feel like I did the day I got saved. And maybe I've lost that joy. Well, it's not lost. You've just pushed it back into the recesses of your heart. There are chambers of our heart, and sometimes we push him back into the farthest chamber, and therefore we're not experiencing that joy, love, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, meekness, and temperance. We've pushed him back. So you need a fresh filling. You need some fresh oil, and the Holy Spirit wants to do that in your life. That is the fullness of God, or the filling of the Holy Spirit. One baptism, many fillings. Did you get that? One baptism, many fillings. So let's look at that in Ephesians chapter 5. Would you stand, please, out of respect of God's word? We invite you to read that with us if you'd like to, or follow along in your copy of God's word. Ephesians 5, starting at verse number 17. Ready? Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And let's read that again. Ready? And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Father in heaven, I really believe this is what I need in my own life. And Lord, I don't believe I'm alone on this. I think that all of us need a fresh anointing. All of us need to know what it's like for you to have more of us than for us to have us. We have too much of us controlling us. Our thoughts, our mindset, our desires, our will, and yet you've told us what the will of God is. I pray that we would surrender our mind, our thoughts, our heart, our will to your will, and may we today experience the beautiful, lovely happiness that the Holy Spirit brings when he fills us. And I ask this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Our text tells us that Christians are to understand what the will of the Lord. He says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, would God ever tell us to understand what the will of the Lord is without telling us what the will of the Lord is? No. No parent who loves their kids say, get out there and do what I told you to do. And they stop and they think, okay, what did you tell me to do? Well, just get out there. God's not sending us out into the world without some help, without some understanding, without a plan, without his will. He has a will for your life. I know there are some preachers that talk about the perfect will of God for you, but nothing about me is perfect, so I don't know what the perfect will of God is. And if there ever was a perfect will for me, I messed that up a long time ago. Anybody else out there? Amen? If there is a perfect will, I don't know what it is, but the perfect will of God is to send Jesus Christ into the world to save sinners like me so that I could be less imperfect and I could have more of the power of God to live a mature Christian life. And he has done that by way of giving us the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, I believe can literally change your life today. Today, this morning, this message, these words, the words of God, the will of God, can send your life in a whole new direction. Your joy, your peace, your strength, your understanding can go from being empty to being filled once you grab a hold of this commandment. I believe the church needs this truth as much as we need anything. Every pastor who loves the sheep is responsible to lead them into green pastures, to lead them where the water is clear and pure. And Paul gives us this in Ephesians 5. But he had already given us this in Ephesians 3, verse 19. He says, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. That we might be filled with all the fullness of God. You ever thought you were not getting all that you paid for? You ever thought it doesn't feel good not to get my money's worth? You ever feel like you've been shortchanged? Well, can I say this? We have shortchanged the Father. He has given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us the power of God. He's given us these beautiful fruits of the Spirit. And we oftentimes haven't unwrapped them, haven't even opened the package. Or as the disciples on the road to Emmaus, we know not whether there be any Holy Spirit of God. Thursday afternoon, Tom and Dolores and I went off to a lunch and learn in Floral City. And it was a great conference. But there was a man there who gave a testimony. Now, this man gave a testimony, and it happened to be his birthday. It happened to be his 90th birthday. And his testimony was great, and afterwards, it was so compelling that I had to go up and talk to him. I had to meet this 90-year-old man who gave this testimony. And this 90-year-old man went in further detail and told me that 3 years ago, he was sitting at home feeling sorry for himself. Every joint in his body ached. He could barely stand up, and when he did, he had to hold on to a cane. Wherever he went, he had to take the cane with him because he was unsteady on his feet. He had come to the point in his life where he didn't know if he had much else to live for or why he should keep living. He was in pain. And he was a Christian. He was born again, but he wasn't happy. And then his pastor called him and said, hey, I'm going to go to over here to the juvenile detention center and give the gospel. Would you like to go with me? He thought, I ain't doing nothing here but griping about my pain. I might as well. He went to this juvenile detention center, and for the first time in a long time, he helped his pastor get the gospel to the people at this juvenile detention center. While doing that, he felt like God was pleased with him. So he went home, and he got on his knees the best he could, and he said, Lord, I've been wasting my life. I am not happy. The Spirit inside me is not happy, but I could tell today the Spirit wants to be happy, and I want to be happy. Lord, if you'll help me, if you'll fill me with your Spirit, I will use the rest of my days to serve you. And for 3 years now, every week he and his pastor go out witnessing and telling love for God. And I heard his testimony, and Dolores heard his testimony, and Tom heard his testimony, and I saw a 90-year-old man that did not look like a 90-year-old man, and he told me from that day he no longer uses that cane. Now, you can say what you want, and you say the same thing I say about men who stand up and claim that they have the apostleship upon them to heal. They are not of God, because there were only those apostles, and those are gone now. But the God who does the healing is still alive today. And what he's doing is working through the power of the Holy Spirit, not through men. Yes, he uses the word, the preaching of the word of God. And how shall we hear without a preacher? But I'm telling you, you can go home today. You can get on your knees. You can confess your sin. You can make yourself available as a clean vessel. And the Holy Spirit loves you as much as he loves that man. And 80 or 90 or 100 years old, God will get more out of you when you're filled with the Spirit than he'll get out of you without being filled with the Spirit. Now, in our text today, I want you to note something. He didn't suggest that we be filled with the Spirit. It is a command. But be ye filled with the Spirit. He commanded it. Interestingly, there is no command to be baptized by the Spirit. Did you hear that? There is no command in the Bible to be baptized by the Spirit of God. There is no command in the Bible to be indwelt by the Spirit of God. But there is a commandment of God to be filled by the Spirit. Four critical things I think you need to know by way of introduction so that we can get into this and understand what the apostle's talking about here. Number one, when he said be filled with the Spirit, it's a plural command, which means you are all to be filled. Be ye filled, and you 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 filled. It's a command for all of us to be filled, not just the preacher, not just sister so-and-so, not brother so-and-so, not just those who pray better than other people, not those who go to some meeting and get some special endowment. The commandment is for every one of us to be filled with the Spirit. It's a plural command. Every Christian in this room here is not right with God if you're not asking, seeking, knocking, and praying to God to be filled with the Spirit. It's a command. Am I right with God if I disobey a command? The Bible says pray without ceasing. How many would agree with me? I'm disobeying God if I stop praying. Would you agree with me? I'm equally just as not right with God if I don't seek the Holy Spirit to fill me and use me for God's glory. It's a command. To give the Spirit a vessel to fill is a command. Not every Christian obeys God, but every Christian can. Not every Christian is full of the Holy Ghost, but every Christian has been given the Holy Ghost. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God? You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your spirit. There are some people been glorifying God, maybe with their wallet, maybe with their time, but not with their spirit. The Bible says we're supposed to be filled with the Spirit of God. So it's plural. Number two, this command is passive. We are to be filled. You cannot fill yourself. You don't have control of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Nobody controls God. God, as the wind listeth, even so he comes wherever he decides to come, and he will come as you pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You're not to fill ourselves. We are the object of the filling. The Holy Spirit does the action. I'm sorry, you can spend your money and go to so-and-so's place, so-and-so's evangelistic association, and stand in line. And maybe that fella will think that he can impart something. He cannot impart anything that God hasn't imparted to him. The Holy Spirit does the work. It's not a man. It's not a woman. It's not a child. It's God that does it because it's his Spirit. Somebody say amen. The command is passive to be filled. God does the filling. In verse 18, it also carries a negative command and a positive command. The negative is to abstain from being drunk on wine. The positive is to be filled with the Spirit. The Greek word to not be drunk with wine is the word asosia, debauchery or excess. Do not be excessive in the drinking of wine, but be excessive in the seeking for God to fill you with the Spirit. You see, it's a negative command and a positive command. God says, I don't want you walking in the flesh. I want you walking in the Spirit. The Bible says you overcome evil by doing good. So it's a negative command. Don't walk in evil, but a positive command. Do the things that I'm telling you to do. All in that one verse. So it's a plural command. It's a passive command. It's a negative and positive command. In Galatians 5:16, he says, this I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. That's a positive and negative command. Now, the reverse is positive, this command to be filled with the Spirit. It's not the opposite of being drunk. It's not being sober only. And here's the problem. I think some Christians say, well, I don't drink anymore. God's given me victory. I have that. Oh, wonderful, good. I guess you need a cookie or a pat on the back or something because you are straight now. You don't do anything wrong, right? Well, I don't drink, Pastor, and I don't hang around those people who drink either. Well, wonderful. Give you another cookie for that. Pat you on the back again. Give you another hand. Wonderful. Did you know you cannot drink and be wrong with God? You cannot hang around people who drink and still not be right with God. Follow me now. You can do all those wonderful things and be on your way to hell unless you've done the things that Jesus has told us to do. So there's the negative and putting off those things of the flesh, and then there's the putting on of Christ. So there's the negative and the positive. And then number four, this command is in the present tense. This is great. It's perpetual. If you were seeing it in Greek, Fred would tell you, it says, be ye being filled. In other words, you were filled, and then you went out, and you forgot about God, and you stopped praying, you stopped reading, you got a little empty. Get filled. And you went out, and you got sorrowful, and you got depressed, and you went through a time of difficulty, and you started complaining and griping. Get back and get filled. Be filled, be filled, be filled. Be ye being filled. That's what it means. It's continual. It's perpetual. We are to be in the continual state of being filled. As we become empty, as we find ourselves lacking, as we are empty, don't settle for one time years ago, Pastor. I remember what it was like. Don't settle for that. That's not going to help you today. You need a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit never leaves you. We leave off the Spirit. Did you get that? The Holy Spirit never leaves you. He is in us. He will be there forever. He is our down payment of salvation. But wait a minute. When I was first saved, I welcomed all the things of God. I invited him into the living room, into the bathroom, into the kitchen, into the basement. He could come in. He could do whatever he wanted. But as I started living the Christian life, I started taking things away from God. I don't want him telling me what to do. I don't want that preacher preaching on sin. I don't want this. I don't want that. And before you know it, we started taking things away. And before you know it, we were living for ourselves. And yet we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. When you're full of yourself, you cannot be full of the Spirit. It's one or the other. The depletion of the Spirit isn't of him, it's of me. As we become empty, we find ourselves lacking. Don't settle for that. Pray and believe and trust God for the filling of the Holy Spirit. We sing that song, revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. Let each soul be rekindled from fire from above. Hallelujah. We sing that song, but do we really believe it? Do we want that? Church, what would it look like if we were all, if this church was, if we were all filled with the Spirit of God? What would Sunday mornings look like? So let's review just for a second. Ephesians 5:18 is a plural command. We are all commanded to be filled. It's a passive command. We are to be filled. That's what the Holy Spirit does with us when we make ourselves available, when we consecrate ourselves to him. It is a negative and a positive command. In order to get the positive, I have to be willing to put off the negative. You're not going to go out there and fill yourself full of drugs and drink and think that you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You're full of other stuff, and you know it. So putting off and getting that negative out of the way, I'm making myself available to be filled by the Spirit. And then it's in present tense. It's perpetual. It's not a one-time thing. God wants us to continue coming back. We need to be thirsty. We need to be hungry. We need to be available. And when we are, the filling is available. All right, so we got that out of the way, and you're all ready to go, class. Everybody gets an A so far. Are you happy? Everybody happy? We're good? Okay. All right, let's get in this a little bit deeper here. Number one, what does the Holy Spirit fill us with? Boy, there's a lot of crazy things out there. I did it this week. Probably shouldn't have. I went on YouTube, and I looked at all the things that people says you can be filled with. And I saw some people laughing hysterically. Have you ever seen that? Filled with the Holy Spirit. So they just started laughing hysterically. I mean foolishly. I mean ridiculously. I mean nobody could calm them down, settle them down. They're just laughing ridiculously. I never found that in my New Testament. That is not the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now, there might be a lot of fun stuff going on, and I'm for having fun. And I know what the joy of the Lord is. It brings you strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. But it's not a foolish craziness about. So I saw a street preacher claim to be filled with, on YouTube. You can go and look it up yourself. Claim to be filled with the Spirit himself. And he found a homeless woman. I saw it. They have a video there. You could go there and look it up. And she's sitting there and eating out of this little plastic dish. And he starts talking to her about how that he can help her today and that she needs a fresh anointing in her life. And do you want that? Yes, I want it. And she stands up and he puts his hand on her forehead and he starts praying. And he says the same thing over and over and over and over. And she doesn't move very much at first, so he must keep saying it over and over. And finally, he pushes her and helps her lay down. And she's laying down and she's looking up. And he says, how do you feel? She goes, I feel different. He said, that's right. You now have the filling of the Holy Spirit. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Is it possible for the Holy Spirit to fill a vessel that's not even God's? I don't know that she's saved. I don't know that she's not. But in the video, he didn't ask her, are you a born-again Christian? Give me the testimony of your salvation. The Bible says that Jesus looked at the disciples. He said, you get up there and pray. And for 10 days, those disciples were proved before God would even bring the Holy Spirit and fill them. And you think that you can offer an unclean vessel to God, and God's just demanded at your request to do his work in you. Be careful, my dear friend. The Spirit works as it listeth. It's the Holy Spirit's job to move you. So how does he do it? Verse 19, 20 tell us we're filled by the Holy Spirit as we are full of Christ. In John 16, the Bible says, when he, the Holy Spirit, shall come, he will guide you into all truth. So where you find the truth of God's word, you'll find the Spirit. Because the Spirit always says amen to the truth that is in Christ Jesus. The Bible says he will guide you into all truth, and he shall not speak of himself. If you're full of the Holy Spirit, you're not walking around talking about, oh, I've got the Spirit. I'm full of the Spirit. I've got the Spirit. If you're full of the Holy Spirit, you're walking around looking a little bit like Jesus. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're full of Christ, all of his attributes. You've got the mind of Christ, the heart of Christ, the feet of Christ, the hand of Christ. If you're full of the Holy Spirit, you're full of the Lord Jesus Christ. He shall not speak of himself. Verse 14. He shall glorify me, Jesus says. The Holy Spirit will glorify me. Romans 13, verses 13 and 14. Let us walk honestly, not in drunkenness, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. How will we know when anybody is full of the Holy Spirit of God? They're walking like Christ. They're doing the things that Christ did. And I could list a lot of things I saw in the video that Christ never did any of those things, but they want you to believe that that is the filling of the Holy Spirit. Get back in your Bible and see what happened to Peter. He preached before Pentecost, but at Pentecost something was different. He was full of the Holy Spirit, and God did not let his words fall to the ground. And the people heard him preach in the Koine Greek language, and they who didn't even speak it got the gospel of Jesus Christ. What did they do when they got filled with the Holy Spirit? Did they stand on their head and gargle peanut butter and do crazy things? No, they got saved. They repented of their sins, and then they followed the disciples down and was baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, the truth is in Christ. And if you have Christ as your Savior and your Lord, the Holy Spirit has come in as a witness, and he speaks all about the truth of Jesus Christ. No Jesus, no truth, no Holy Spirit. Love is what you get when you get God, for God is love, the Bible says. If you have not God, 1 John 4, 7 and 8 says you're not of his. I can tell you what somebody who has the Holy Spirit looks like, somebody who has a lot of love to give, a lot of love. They want to share Jesus. Acts 1:8 tells you you can have the power for witnessing. If you receive the Lord Jesus Christ and pray for the power of the Holy Spirit, you'll have the power of God to witness on behalf of Jesus Christ. The Spirit fills us with inherent goodness. The Holy Spirit cannot fill us with what he is not. We are not full of the Spirit as we curse. We're not full of the Holy Spirit as we lie, as we steal and hate and envy and strife one with another. That is not the Holy Spirit. We are full of the Holy Spirit as we live a Christ-like life. Colossians 3:15 says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body. That's the baptism. And be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. What's going to happen if he does that, Pastor? Teaching and admonish one another. What's that sound like, look like? Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart. to the Lord. Ah, this is what Jesus did. This is who Jesus was. We pour out what is in us. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If you're full of love, it'll come out. If there's no love there, there's no God. If there's no God, there's no Spirit. The Spirit fills us with godliness. Does God command us to sip on the Spirit or to be filled with the Spirit, folks? And here's where so many churches are, and here's where we are at times, and here's where I am at times. God, I sure do love you. Oh, it feels good to sip on the Spirit. Oh, I don't have much time, but let me get one more sip before I leave, and I sip on the Spirit. God, that's not the kind of stuff that God wants. He wants us to be inebriated with the Spirit. Did you get that? Controlled by, overcome by the Holy Spirit, but be filled with the Spirit of God. Too many Christians live their Christianity from a straw instead of a wide mouth glass. What God chooses, he cleanses. What God cleanses, he molds. What God molds, he fills. And what God fills, he uses. He wants to use you. See, you think that God doesn't want to use you because you're this or you're that or you have this struggle, that struggle. Listen to me, I promise you, he saved you, so he wants to use you. He loves you. He wants to squeeze all of the goodness that he created you to do and be. But you can't do it on yourself. You are powerless without the help of the Holy Spirit. So he wants you to be full of the Holy Spirit so that you use your gifts and talents for him. Okay, so you can do it in your power. How are you doing in your own power? How are you doing by doing it yourself? You're very productive by doing it by yourself? How are you doing, huh? You have more bad days than good days, probably. Keep trying to do it by yourself. Not by might, not by power, but by my... The Holy Spirit fills believers with the attributes of Christ, the fruits of himself. The love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, faith, meekness, temperance, those are who and what Jesus is. So when the Holy Spirit came in, he brought that with him, and that's inside of you. Well, Pastor, it must not be because I'm not very patient. No, you've just not been filled with the Spirit yet. Well, I just don't have much love for those people that do that all the time. I understand that, but you need to be filled with the Spirit, and you'll have more love for them. Well, Pastor, I don't have as much faith as Sister so-and-so. Yes, but you could have a whole lot more if you were filled with the Spirit of God. Did you get that? Did you get that? So what does the Holy Spirit do? He fills us with Christ's likeness. Number two, how does the filling happen? He told us, but be ye being filled. It's a perpetual thing to be constantly drinking from the water, to continually go back for more. Jesus compared being filled with drinking. Alcoholics drink. How else do they get drunk? They don't just sip on it. They have developed a deep thirst. They guzzle until their thirst is quenched. This is how we are filled with the Spirit. John chapter 7, verse 37 through 39, Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This he spake of the Spirit. Oh, it's what we're missing. It is what we're missing today. God wants you to go back for another drink. God wants you to hunger and thirst after him. Spirit filling happens as we drink from the well of the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine, but drink of the Spirit. Now, the problem with the average Christian is we're just not thirsty enough. We're just not. I'm not trying to criticize you. That's what happens to me when I do not seek the Holy Spirit's guidance, when I want to walk in the flesh, when I don't want to do what he wants me to do. I'm not thirsty enough. Well, I can tell you how to get thirsty. Get to work. You're not going to be real thirsty if you're not doing much. You want to get thirsty? Go out and burn a lot of calories. I mean, find something to get you going. And when your heart starts racing and your mind starts going and you're busy, busy, busy before you know it, man, I got to get a drink of water. My mouth is dry. I got to. And you get thirsty. Why? Because you have to have that which would replenish you. May that be the Spirit of God. May we get so busy doing the things of God that we cannot do it by ourselves. We have to have the Spirit's help. How does this filling happen? We have become complacent to live powerless. When you're content to live a dry, dusty, powerless life, listen, you will. You know, there are some Christians, maybe even in this room, you're no different today than you were 20 years ago. In fact, you could set a clock by you, on some of you. You do the same thing in the morning, mid-morning, afternoon, mid-afternoon, at night. Now, with things of character, good things, that's a good thing to do. I'm not telling you to stop doing that. And don't stop brushing your teeth. No, don't do that. Don't stop using mouthwash. Please don't stop doing that. Keep doing the good things that you're doing, but wait a minute. Add unto those things the things of the Spirit. Pray for the fullness of God. Seek after him, and you shall find him. How does the filling take place? In verses 19 through 20, Paul gives us four means to being filled. Number one, communicating with others. They're not really results of the Spirit. They're the means by way we get the Spirit. Speaking the Spirit's language. Did you know that God speaks all languages? But he wants you to talk to him in Jesus' name. Didn't he say that? Pray in Jesus' name. Why is that? Because Jesus is who connects us with God. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. He's our Master. Yes, that is true. And the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you, who has a name, also prefers that you pray in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Listen, how do we do that? How do we do that? Well, let me just ask you this. This is a simple question. When you come here on Sunday morning, and I know that not every Sunday is the same. Some Sundays we feel more of the presence of God. Some Sundays things are really moving and excitement. And others, they're okay, all right. But do you generally feel better when you go home from church on Sunday morning? How many of you say, I generally feel better? Especially the preacher preaches within a limited time frame. I found out where your heart is, right? Yeah, okay. All right, now wait a minute. Why is that? Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. You got filled when you went to church. Most of us feel better after we read our Bible. We don't always understand everything we read, and sometimes we scratch our head and say, my goodness, I don't know if I got anything out of it, but don't we generally feel better when we read our Bible? Do you generally feel better when you invite somebody to church? Do you generally feel better when you've witnessed to somebody on behalf of Christ? Do you generally feel better when you've helped somebody that the Holy Spirit told you to help? What is happening? You have emptied yourself and allowed the Lord to come in and to fill you. And you leave on Sunday morning, you say, wow, it was great to be in the house of the Lord. Why? Because when you came, you were empty. But when you left, you had a filling of the Holy Spirit. Now, would God that that would happen every day. That's the commandment, to be ye filled. That's what he wants for you. That's what he wants for me. How does the Holy Spirit happen? As we communicate with ourselves and others, as we communicate with God, as we pray in the Spirit to the Lord, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. When's the last time you said, Lord, I'm going to sing a song just for you? It might have been this morning. If you weren't here, you might not have sang that song to God, but this morning you did. And what happened? The Lord said, I'm going to move your spirit over and I'm going to bring my spirit in. And you felt that filling of the Holy Spirit. You felt that joy. You felt peace. Anybody know what I'm talking about today? That is how the Holy Spirit communicates. The giving of thanks always to God. That's what he said. Boy, we miss it. Giving thanks always for all things. Giving thanks when the car doesn't appreciate you and it breaks down. Giving thanks when the leg won't stop hurting and the back won't stop hurting. Giving thanks in all things. Now, that's real hard to do. You have to remove your will, don't you? You just made room for the Holy Spirit. Did you get that? Giving thanks to God always removes what I don't want to give thanks for. Get that out of the way. Makes a bigger void so that the Holy Spirit can come in and remind you what you have to be thankful for. That's the filling of the Holy Spirit. That's what it is. I didn't say it. He said it. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody to your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if those three were helpful, this last one's not going to help any of you who don't believe the Bible, because you won't like it. In order to be filled with the Holy Spirit, the means by which the Holy Spirit will fill you is through your submissiveness. How can you obey God if you're not willing to? Well, I know God said it, but I think he gives us a choice. So God gives you a command, and you're special, and you're better than everybody else, and you deserve special attention. Yeah, you might get that one. You might need that one. No, God is not a respecter of persons. So if the Holy Spirit fills us by way of submission, that means we move over and make room for him. Now, wait a minute. It's not just submitting yourself to the Lord. Submitting yourself to one another. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. In other words, if I don't do this, God will be displeased. Can I tell you what it looks like to be a Holy Spirit-filled Christian? You prefer other people. Preferring one another. You prefer them. Boy, that's hard to do, especially when they're not nice. Especially when they don't deserve it. It is, isn't it hard? Is it just me? Please, somebody help me. It ain't just me, is it? It is hard to move out of the way and let somebody else have that spot. It's hard. I told you. At the Y, I'm on the treadmill, and I've got the incline up to 6.0, and I'm trying not to hang on. And I'm going, and I'm going, and I'm going, and there's all this glass, and there's a parking lot right there. And somebody moves into a handicapped parking place, and they get out, and it's a 30-something-year-old bodybuilder. Something in my spirit says, rrr. And then, however, because then you don't see them because they go around the building and they get in there and they go to the locker room, whether they, and then they come into the same room where I'm at. My spirit says, you go tell them. You leave that parking place for somebody who needs it. You don't need it. But I know me. Before I know it, we're going to be in trouble. I'm going to be inviting something that I probably shouldn't invite. Now, wait a minute. Is it wrong for somebody to abuse elderly people? Of course it is. Of course it is. But let me tell you something to our dear elderly people in the room. It's just as wrong for you to do that to the Holy Spirit. Just as wrong for us to say, Holy Spirit, I don't have time for you. I deserve this time. You don't deserve it. I deserve this for me. This is my time. This is for me. And the Holy Spirit says, okay, all right. But without the submitting, you won't have the filling. To be filled with the Holy Spirit is to be filled with one who is already there in your heart. Take up a sponge, and while it is in your hand, squeeze it. In that condition, plunge it in water and submerge it, keeping it in the water. It is now in the water, and the water is in it. As you hold it in the water, you open your hand, and as you do so, the water fills the pores, which you release in this way. It is now filled with the water. When we receive Jesus Christ, we are born anew and put into the sphere where the Holy Spirit is operating, and the Holy Spirit comes in to reside us. Listen to me. The submission process is God squeezing out the selfishness, squeezing out the petty things, squeezing out the I want it for me, squeezing it all out so that when God releases his hand, you can soak up the Holy Spirit. That's how you can be filled with the Spirit. Listen, you read about how David Brainerd was filled with the Holy Spirit, who died by the time he was 30 years old on the mission field. He had poured out himself, but had no idea that his mission would go on to live forever. We could tell story after story here today of great men and women of God In order to be used of God, God had to squeeze and squeeze and squeeze, but he wasn't doing it to hurt them. He was placing them in the very spot where they needed to be so that when God let his hands out, they could suck up, drink up all of the fullness of God. That's how Fanny Crosby wrote more than 4,000 to 5,000 hymns, blind, filled with the Holy Spirit. So how does this filling happen? When we communicate through with the Holy Spirit to others, speaking psalms and hymns, communicate with God in prayer, giving thanks always, and we are submissive as unto the Lord. I was driving down the road, listening to Moody Station this week, and the afternoon show where they do some interviews, and they were interviewing Shannon Bream. Anybody hear that interview this week? Anybody else hear that? You heard that? Shannon is a devoted Christian. She's also a lawyer, an incredible journalist, and she had a choice on whether her having her dream job, which was here in Florida, or going to North Carolina and working for Fox News. She wanted to stay in Florida and work for Fox News, but her husband said, I don't believe that's God's will for you. And she said, for days, they went without talking to each other. She wanted to do it. He didn't want her to do it. And finally, she said, you know what? I'm a Christian. And I know what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 5. I'm supposed to submit to my godly husband. And she said, I looked at him and I said, okay, I'm going to do what God wants, but if it doesn't turn out, it's your fault. She said, because I think that I know that the Holy Spirit speaks to the head, which is Christ, and the husband, who's the head of the home, and then to me. I can't be right with God and be wrong with my husband. Now, she said that. You heard it, Wes. You see, we all want to be the exception. Well, I know I'm supposed to do this, but I did it this. And let me tell you all the wonderful things God did. You are not going to break one of God's principles and have the filling of the Holy Spirit. Did you hear that? Submit one to another in the fear of God. And lastly, when does the Holy Spirit fill us? Each believer has all of the Spirit, but does the Spirit have all of you? Quickly, God fills you when you're thirsty. Verse 17 is our text verse. Whereby, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. In order to do the will of the Lord, you have to submit your will to his will. You have to be willing. Does that make sense? You have to be willing. But I don't want to walk that way, Pastor. It doesn't matter if you want to. He didn't ask you if you wanted to. You need to submit to the will of the Lord. And whatever the will of the Lord is, that's what you need to do. Because as you do that, then you develop a thirst. Anybody ever that had ever learned to love God, you loved him because he first did what? Loved you. That when you learned that about God, when you learned the love of God, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, he loved me? How much? When? When I was living in sin? Oh, I got to do something about this. The day you got saved was the day when you came to the realization that God loves you and died for you and sent his Son for you, and you gave up your will and became his child. It's a surrender. It's a submission. And from that day on, God's been making you thirsty for him. You're still hungry. You want to eat some more bread and eat some more meat of the love of God. And yes, that's exactly right. When we are thirsty, as we yield to God's will, as we drink, we are filled. As often as we ask and seek and knock, we have not because we ask not. Isaiah 55:1 says, come everyone who is thirsty and be filled when you're thirsty. Number two, or B, when we're empty. God wants us consecrated. I don't have the time to go into it, but you know the story of Samson, how he was the strongest man on earth, killed all those Philistines with just a little bone, jawbone of an, you know all this story, but wait a minute, his ending statement was incredible. he went out in a blaze of glory. Praise God. In fact, the Bible says he did more for God with his last act than he had done all of his life in his good acts. More people were killed, more of the enemies of God were killed in Samson's last day than his whole life combined. But it was his prayer. He prayed a Holy Spirit prayer. Chapter 16, verse 28, and Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me only this once, that I may be avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. Samson then received the fullness of the strength one last time. You know what? If that was our prayer every time, if that was our opportunity, Lord, I may die tomorrow, so today, fill me with your power and with your strength so that I may do more for you today than I've done ever before. You think you wouldn't get filled? You think God would hold back his blessing? You think he'd be stingy? I don't think so. I think he'd help you. A.J. Gordon, one of the founders of Gordon Conwell Divinity School, was told of being out walking and looking across the field at a house. There beside the house was what looked like a man pumping furiously at one of those hand pumps. As Gordon watched, the man continued to pump at a tremendous rate. He seemed absolutely tireless, pumping on and on and up and down without ever slowing in the slightest bit. Truly, it was a remarkable sight. So Gordon started to walk towards it. As he got closer, he could see it was not a man at the pump, but a wooden figure painted to look like a man. You've seen those, right? The arm that was pumping so rapidly was hinged at the elbow, and the hand was wired to the pump handle. The water was pouring forth, but not because the figure was pumping it. You see, it was the artesian well, and the water was pumping the man. Isn't that what we need? We need more of the Holy Spirit pumping the man. The Holy Spirit moving the teenager. The Holy Spirit moving us. That's what we need. Emptied of all my pride, I can be filled with God's goodness. Emptied of all my selfishness, I then can be filled with the love of God. Emptied of all my fleshly lust, I can walk in the Spirit. There will never be a filling in my life until there is an emptying first. We have to be thirsty. We have to be empty. We sing that song, Take My Life, and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hand and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing always and only for my King. But we take it back almost as soon as we give it. Got to have my way. Got to do it my way. Again, Jesus said, if anyone be thirsty, let him come unto him and drink, and take of the water of life freely. In Revelation 22, verse 17, the Bible says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that is thirsty come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. So, you've been given a commandment today. But be ye filled. But be ye being filled. You're not obeying the commandment because you got saved. You're not obeying the commandment because you had a time in your life when you can point back to the time when you did some things right for God. We're only right with God if today we yield ourselves to Him. If today we do what the Spirit's bid us to do. Do you want to be obedient to the Lord? Do you want to have the power of God? Do you need it? Are you thirsty? Come to the Lord and drink. Would you bow your heads, please? Now, Grace, Father, Lord, I know